former government official says a missing Picasso painting spotted at the home of former First Lady Imelda Marcos could be worth around 8 billion pesos. Election watchdog PPCRV says there's been a 100% match rate so far in encoded election returns. Later on in the program, we'll speak with foreign journalist Erin Cook for her assessment of the recent Philippine polls. The United Nations Human Rights Council launching a probe into alleged Russian atrocities in Ukraine. And the U.S. reaches 1 million COVID-19 deaths. I'm Denise Inside. Dateline Philippines begins right now. For those of you watching us on YouTube and Facebook, glad you can join us. Our top story at this hour. Could the mother of presidential frontrunner Ferdinand Marcos Jr. be in possession of a Pablo Picasso painting that the government wants to seize? On Wednesday, social media users pointed out that the famed painter's artwork was seen in photos of Marcos Jr.'s visit to his mother, former First Lady Imelda Marcos. Former Presidential Commission on Good Government Chief Andy Bautista says that painting could fetch up to 8 billion pesos. The Picasso was among the paintings the Sandigan Bayan wanted seized from the Marcoses in 2014.
Ito na yung ebidensya, parang hulog ng langit ito, no? Sana bigyan ng pansin ng ating yung mga namumunong ngayon ng PCGG, ng ating Office of the Solicitor General. Kunin na natin itong painting na to habang meron pang panahon. Yan ay painting na pag-aari talaga ng taong bayan. Kung kaya't nararapat lamang na yan ay maibalik sa ating kabangbayan. Oh. Yung mga lahas na nakabimbin sa Bangko Sentral ng Pilipinas, napakahalaga ng mga alahas na yan. At yung mga alahas na yan ay again pag-aari ng taong bayan. Kung kaya dapat natin protektahan at siguraduhin na ang mga alahas na yan at kung yan man ay ibebenta, ay dapat ibalik ang nakaw na yaman na yan sa ating kabangbayan.
Vice Presidential Candidate Walden Bello speaking out against the plan to appoint Sara Duterte Carpio as Education Chief. Bello fears this is part of the Marcos family's efforts to revise history, particularly on the injustices committed during the martial law period, where Ferdinand Marcos Sr. reigned as dictator. Back in 2020, Ferdinand Marcos Jr. claimed children were being taught lies because of the negative portrayal of his father's regime in children's textbooks.
Ang dami-dami talagang mga works on martial law that are very negative about what happened, no? Na so anong gagawin nila rito, no? Anong gagawin in terms of yung mga textbooks, no? Anong gagawin dito sa mga textbooks na gagamitin sa mga history classes, no? Magiging kwan ba yan? Magiging propaganda machinery so that gagawin yung ginawa sa internet na the Marcos period was a golden age, no?
Sara Duterte's experience in the local government is an edge for her should she become the new chief of the education department. The president of Philippine Business for Education says there are education reforms that need to happen at the local level. But he noted there are other things the government should prioritize other than mandating ROTC. Duterte earlier said she would reinstate mandatory military service for all Filipinos who are at least 18 years old.
I think are the resources of the government and the resources of DepEd are better spent on more important issues and more important priorities, like the basics of reading and writing and arithmetic, trying to get our schools back, our children back in school, because our biggest problem is they haven't been to school in almost 2 years, trying to raise the level of comprehension.
Australia's Prime Minister joins other world leaders in congratulating presidential race frontrunner Marcos Jr. On Twitter, Scott Morrison said he's looking forward to advance the long-standing friendship between the Philippines and Australia under a Marcos leadership. Other world leaders, including U.S. President Joe Biden and Chinese President Xi Jinping, have also congratulated Marcos for his imminent victory. Albay Representative Joey Salceda says a Romualdez speakership at the House of Representatives would be an asset to the incoming Marcos administration. On Thursday, the National Union Party endorsed House Majority Leader Martin Romualdez for speaker in the upcoming 19th Congress. Salceda believes Romualdez will get the post not because he's the first cousin of the presumptive president, but because he's good at his job. Salceda also sees Senator Cynthia Villar becoming the next Senate president.
I was the chief campaign manager of Martin during that three-cornered fight in 2019. So, kita ko naman na nung naging majority leader siya, gamay na gamay niya, alam niya yung proseso. So, he gets things done, even the most difficult reforms like the Public Service Act. Oh, and combine mo dyan dun sa Senate na parang ano talaga, given na si Ma'am Cynthia Villar will be the Senate President. She will have a very strong legislative support for Marcos. So I think the most productive Congress since the first Congress of 1987 to 1992 is this Congress.
Police report 13 were killed due to election-related violence in the Bangsamoro Autonomous Region in Muslim Mindanao. Lerio Bompat now joins us with details. Lerio?
Yes, Denise, 13 individuals died, but 47 others were injured in 46 election incidents transpired in the Bangsamoro Autonomous Region in Muslim Mindanao on May 9, 2020, to national and local elections. 7 individuals died in Lado del Sur, while 15 others were wounded in 13 election incidents. 5 died in Maguindanao, while 16 others were injured in 21 election incidents. 1 died in Basilan, and 10 others were injured in 5 election incidents. 4 individuals were also hurt in 5 election incidents in Cotabato City. 1 individual was hurt in 1 election incident that transpired in Sulu, and 1 election incident was also recorded in Tawi-Tawi, where 1 individual was injured. This, despite the deployment of 6,467 PNP personnel across the region, with augmentation of 200 cops from Police Regional Office 10 and 120 personnel from Police Regional Office 12, aside from the 702 trained cops who served as members of the Special Electoral Board of Inspectors. However, PNP BARM Regional Director Police Brigadier General Arthur Cabalona said that the number of incidents is much lower compared to 93 election incidents recorded in the region in the 2016 national and local elections. Cabalona said the conduct of elections in the region was generally peaceful. On Thursday, Cabalona personally extended his salutes to the men and women of PNP BARM. He also personally led the send-off ceremony of police personnel deployed in Cotabato City back to their areas of assignment. PNP BARM also extends its appreciation to its partners for their trust, support, and cooperation during the entire election period. And that's the latest here in Cotabato City. Denise, back to you.
Thanks for that report, Lerio. Now, poll automation company Smartmatic addresses the vote counting machine glitches during the May 9 elections. Smartmatic denies more of its VCMs malfunctioned during the recently concluded polls compared to previous election years. It says only less than 1% of the total machines and SD cards had to be replaced this year. That's in contrast to the nearly 3% recorded in 2019. Smartmatic also refutes allegations more than 1,800 VCMs were defective. The company says a majority of the cases were resolved after troubleshooting efforts. It also insists it should not be blamed for the voting delays. Smartmatic argues these were due to the relatively few contingency VCMs deployed nationwide and not because of the performance of the machines. How does the foreign media see the conduct of the recent Philippine presidential elections? And do they see the presumptive winner, Marcos Jr., finally opening up to the foreign press? Joining us now is Australian freelance journalist Aaron Cook. Aaron, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Now, as we mentioned a while ago, presumptive Ferdinand Marcos Jr. Is very much in the lead here in the electoral results in the Philippines. We've seen a couple of videos and also headlines of the international community. But for you, what do you think is the growing sentiment or maybe the established sentiment of the international community with a Marcos win?
I think it's certainly an established sentiment at this point. There is a lot of a confusion and concern about what a Bongbong Marcos presidency will look like. I think there's been a lot of acceptance in the diplomatic community where it has been assumed for so long that he would win this. But as that news sort of trickles down towards more mainstream news across the world, it is quite shocking. And some of the headlines have been incredible. A lot of talk about, how did this happen? Will this be able to happen elsewhere around the world? Mm-hmm. And is this the start of a trend of seeing the scions of these sorts of families coming back into power across the world?
Now, what can you say about what kind will this trend set now that the Philippines have elected to put a former dictator's son into the highest seat in the country?
I did notice that Indonesia particularly was a bit wary of this result, given that that Indonesia went through a very, very similar process with its former dictator, Suharto. Son Tommy Suharto isn't quite as involved in politics as Bongbong has been for years. So it isn't quite the exact same situation, but it's certainly closer than similar situations that we see in LATAM or Africa. So I think it'll be tightly watched in Southeast Asia, certainly.
Now, a lot of world leaders are welcoming or are congratulating, rather, Ferdinand Marcos Jr.'s win. What do you think about, his welcome to the International Society of Nations? Do you think that will diminish the atrocities committed by his family during martial law and also the ongoing cases that he has right now?
Absolutely. I think it must have been a very difficult one for other world leaders. Mm-hmm. The reality is that Bongbong has been... is presumably elected by the people of the Philippines, and that can't be ignored even with these outstanding cases. So they're in a tricky situation where you can't ignore the will of the people, but also these things do need to be acknowledged. They do need to be resolved. At this stage, Bongbong is not even allowed into the US, and these sorts of questions need to be resolved, and I expect we'll hear more of that in the coming weeks as the shock settles down a bit.
Do you find a dissonance? You said so yourself that Marcos still isn't allowed in the U.S. You also are very much aware of that. But here is U.S. President Joe Biden congratulating him for his win and even saying that he hopes to work on their bilateral relations and also when it comes to human rights.
Absolutely. I think the U.S. specifically is in a very tricky situation here. I'm certainly not a U.S.-Philippines relations expert, but I know that previous President Duterte very much tested that relationship. The Americans were, of course, instrumental in helping Marcos Sr. leave the country. So they're in a tricky spot where they themselves have a bit to answer for, I think, here.
And, there's always this ongoing war with disinformation and misinformation. And now that, of course, Ferdinand Marcos Jr. is going to be the presumptive president of the Philippines, this normalizing, a brutal dictator and them having to ask people to just move on from all of those atrocities, what are the implications of this?
I'll be very interested to see if there's any sort of outcome here. Throughout my reporting in Manila, I heard over and over and over again that this isn't the fault, so to speak, of undereducated voters or those that had been so heavily influenced by the social media practices of Marcos and his supporters. It's these huge, enormous social media firms that have undermined Philippine democracy for decades now. There's a responsibility there, and whether that gets investigated doesn't seem likely. They have gotten away with this on a smaller scale in plenty of countries, even right here in the region with Myanmar specifically. That needs to be addressed. There needs to be a push to stop these companies from being allowed to influence elections in this manner. It's not right.
Do you think democracy is at stake here in the Philippines, especially with press freedom? Marcos has been quite dodgy with traditional media networks, with offering interviews as well. It's mostly his spokesperson that goes in his stead. Yeah. And also the Foreign Association of Journalists here in the Philippines have also complained about the treatment that they've gotten from followers of Marcos. So do you think that democracy here is threatened in the country from your point of view?
I think so. I think it was certainly through the campaign, but I was very alarmed to see yesterday the spokesman being extraordinarily dismissive of very, very important questions coming from the press pack. That certainly doesn't bode well. They weren't particularly hard questions. There were questions about, you know, Bongbong traveling to the US or what happens with it's a commemoration days, things like that, things that should be easily answerable by the team and that Filipinos need to know, because it's got 6 years. What happens now? It's a lack of respect, not just for the media, not for the foreign media, but for the people as well. It's downright offensive, I think.
And with that said, how do foreign journalists feel about, you know, covering the Philippines or being in the Philippines, you know, for work?
That's an interesting question. I think there are kind of conflicting views. I personally have found the voting experience and the campaign experience to be both very upsetting and also wholly inspiring. It was incredible to go down to these precincts and see people happy, well, not happy, but willing to wait 5-10 hours in the hot sun all day just to make sure that their voice was heard. I think going forward, if that sort of energy is kept up, the Philippines is going to be a fascinating place to watch in the next 6 years.
I like that we ended that on an optimistic tone, that fascinating instead of something daunting. Thank you for that.
Absolutely.
Australian freelance journalist Aaron Cook. Aaron, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Up next, a United Nations Council votes to launch an inquiry into alleged atrocities by Russian troops in Ukraine. Stay with Dateline Philippines. Here's over Dateline Philippines. Here's another look at the headlines. A former government official says a missing Picasso painting spotted at the home of former First Lady Imelda Marcos could be worth around 8 billion pesos. Election watchdog PPCRV says there's been a 100% match rate so far in encoded election returns. The United Nations Human Rights Council launching a probe into alleged Russian atrocities in Ukraine. And the U.S. breaches 1 million COVID-19 deaths. Manually encoded election returns have so far matched the electronically transmitted results from the poll body's transparency server. Let's get the latest from the PPRCV Command Center in Manila from our correspondent Jackie Manabat. Jackie?
Denise, the validation and manual encoding of physical copies of election returns continue here at the PPCRV Command Center while they match these manually audited results with the electronically transmitted results from the COMELEX transparency server. And so far, the first batch of encoded ERs is a 100% match with the results reflected by the COMELEX transparency server. The church-based, church-backed poll watcher encoded 16,000 or 15% of the total ERs, mostly coming from NCR and other parts of Luzon, like Pangasinan, Ilocos, Norte, and Laguna, Bulacan, Cavite, and Rizal. No encoded ERs so far from Visayas, and some ERs are already encoded from Mindanao, like Misamis Oriental. Now, PPCRB cautions the public again from misinformation online. They said that there's no commotion here at the command center and there is no order from COMELEC for them to stop counting, and no truth that they are manipulating the elections. PPCRB spokesperson Attorney Van told the public to calm down as the volunteers are doing their best. Volunteers here work for 2 to 3 hours, and last night there's 2 9-year-olds who worked as encoders. They are this year's elections youngest encoders or volunteers, and as encoders they are tasked to tally the numbers printed on the ERs, and they were guided and accompanied by their parents. Denise?
Thanks for that update, Jackie Manabat. The United Nations Human Rights Council votes to launch an inquiry into alleged atrocities by Russian troops in Ukraine. The council voted 33-2 in favor of a draft resolution brought by Ukraine to probe the alleged executions, civilian casualties, torture, and abuse of children, with a view to holding the perpetrators to account. China and Eritrea voted against the resolution, while 12 countries abstained. Russia branded the extraordinary meeting of the rights body as a politicized stunt.
The irrefutable evidence of gross and systematic human rights violations, as well as war crimes and crimes against humanity committed in the course of the Russian aggression against Ukraine, are building up with every minute of this war. This is the only way to ensure that such blatant dereliction of human rights values, which we deeply cherish, will never repeat itself anywhere else in this world.
More than 6 million refugees have fled Ukraine since Russia's invasion began on February 24. A further 8 million people have been internally displaced. Moscow warns Finland of consequences as it seeks to apply for NATO membership. Finland announced it plans to apply for NATO membership on Thursday, bringing it one step closer to becoming a member of the U.S.-led military alliance. Russia, which shares an 800-mile border with Finland, had prevented NATO's expansion right to its doorstep. Russia says Finland's accession to NATO will cause serious damage to bilateral relations and the maintaining of stability and security in the northern European region. Helsinki will formally announce its application Sunday. Stockholm is expected to follow suit. More world news. U.S. President Joe Biden welcomed Southeast Asian leaders to Washington Thursday, vowing support for clean energy and maritime security in the face of a rising China. That pledge was made during a 2-day summit with the Association of Southeast Asian Nations. The White House announced some $150 million in new initiatives, a modest sum compared to the $40 billion package for Ukraine. But it notes a broader package, the Indo-Pacific Economic Framework, is in the offing. Washington is also devoting $40 million to invest in clean energy in economically diverse Southeast Asia. It also revealed it is working with the private sector to raise up to $2 billion for the initiative. China defends the arrest of a 90-year-old Catholic cardinal under Hong Kong's national security law. Retired Cardinal Joseph Zen, one of the most senior Catholic clerics in Asia, was among a group of four democracy advocates arrested Wednesday for alleged collusion with foreign forces. They were all trustees of a now-disbanded fund that helped detained demonstrators during the massive democracy protests that swept Hong Kong 3 years ago. The four have since been released on bail. Zen's arrest prompted the Vatican and the White House to issue statements, while Human Rights Watch called it a shocking new low for Hong Kong. The The United States reaches 1 million COVID-19 deaths. In recent weeks, the U.S. has seen an uptick in the number of daily virus cases, largely due to the new Omicron variant, subvariant. The rise has coincided with the lifting of mask mandates. An infectious disease expert says there is now a disconnect with people largely done with a pandemic that is not yet over. U.S. President Joe Biden acknowledged the pain of those who lost loved ones to the virus. He calls on Americans to remain vigilant.
This pandemic isn't over. Today, we mark a tragic milestone here in the United States. 1 million COVID deaths. Around the world, many more millions have died. Millions of children have been orphaned. And with thousands still dying every day, now is the time for us to act, all of us together. We all must do more. We must honor those we have lost by doing everything we can to prevent as many deaths as possible.
Biden also revealed the U.S. will share COVID vaccine technology in a bid to expand access to poorer nations.
We're making available health technologies that are owned by the United States government, including stabilized spike protein that is used in many COVID-19 vaccines. We're standing up a new pilot program, working with the Global Fund to expand access to rapid testing and antiviral treatments for people in harder-to-reach areas. And we're increasing our support for a new Pandemic Preparedness and Global Health Security Fund that will be established at the World Bank this summer with $450 million in seed funding.
North Korea reports its first COVID-19 death. State media reported Friday that patient was among six people who died after showing fever symptoms. Some 350,000 people have also shown signs of fever, which authorities say has spread nationwide. 187,000 people are currently in isolation. North Korean leader Kim Jong-un ordered a national lockdown on Thursday after labs detected the reclusive nation's first cases. Analysts said the outbreak could deepen the isolated country's already tough food situation this year, as the lockdown would hamper its all-out fight against drought and workforce mobilization. Here at home, health officials say they are not seeing any uptick in new COVID-19 cases yet, days after the conduct of the 2022 elections. But Dr. Ted Herbosa, advisor to the National Task Force Against COVID-19, says the healthcare system remains on standby as a possible COVID surge is still possible. He adds government is focusing on ramping up vaccinations in areas with low immunization coverage.
Sa ating mga low vaccination rate area, lalo na sa BARM, gumawa kami ng magandang plano na yung vaccination teams may pupuntahan bawat probinsya kada araw para ma-increase. Kasi kung magkaroon man tayo ng outbreak, the outbreak will most likely be doon sa mga lugar na mababa ang vaccination status.
Still ahead, the Philippines' debt-to-GDP ratio climbs to its highest level since 2005. This is Avon Philippines. Stick around. Welcome back again. Here are today's top stories. Could the mother of presidential frontrunner Ferdinand Marcos Jr. be in possession of a Pablo Picasso painting that government wants to seize? On Wednesday, social media users pointed out that the famed painter's artwork was seen in photos of Marcos Jr.'s visit to his mother, former First Lady Imelda Marcos. Former Presidential Commission on Good Government Chief Andy Bautista says that painting could fetch up to 8 billion pesos. The Picasso was among the paintings the Sandigan Bayan wanted seized from the Marcoses in 2014.
Ito na yung ebidensya, parang hulog ng langit ito, no? Sana bigyan ng pansin ng ating mga dating, yun, yung mga namumuno ngayon ng PCGG, ng ating Office of the Solicitor General. Kunin na natin itong painting na to habang meron pang panahon. yan ay painting na pag-aari talaga ng taong bayan. Kung kaya't nararapat lamang na yan ay maibalik sa ating kabangbayan. Oh. Yung mga lahas na nakabinbin sa Bangko Sentral ng Pilipinas, napakahalaga ng mga alahas na yan. At yung mga alahas na yan ay again pag-aari ng taong bayan. Kung kaya dapat natin protektahan at siguraduhin na ang mga alahas na yan at kung yan man ay ibebenta, ay dapat ibalik ang nakaw na yaman na yan sa ating kabangbayan.
Vice Presidential Candidate Walden Bello speaking out against the plan to appoint Sara Duterte Carpio as Education Chief. Bello fears this is part of the Marcos family's efforts to revise history, particularly on the injustices committed during the martial law period where Ferdinand Marcos Sr. reigned as dictator. Back in 2020, Ferdinand Marcos Jr. claimed children were being taught lies because of the negative portrayal of his father's regime in children's textbooks.
Ang dami-dami talagang mga works on martial law that are very negative about what happened, no? Na so anong gagawin nila rito, no? Anong gagawin in terms of yung mga textbooks, no? Anong gagawin dito sa mga textbooks na gagamitin sa mga history classes, no? Magiging kwan ba yan? Magiging propaganda machinery so that gagawin yung ginawa sa internet na the Marcos period was a golden age, no?
The Commission on Elections is holding a press conference. Let's listen in.
Hindi lang meet, go before the deadline. Nabit namin yung deadline sa CLAB. Now, for other updates, we also thank the PPCRB for making that statement that the out of the 16,820 election returns that they have received, manually encoded and then examined, there is a 100% accuracy and match. This is a testament to the accuracy and credibility of our elections, and we perceive no issues dun sa mga remaining pa nila. Also, we would like to thank the UP School of Statistics for unequivocally stating that the ratio being circulated in SOCMED is not really an evidence of cheating, and they had stated that there is no anomaly in the elections to the point that using that argument is actually wrong as part of an analysis based on the cumulative total. Nagpapasalamat po kami sa UP School of Statistics. Ano? Sabi pa nila, without a clear and unequivocal context, this percentage pattern is not an evidence of cheating in elections. And this is likewise echoed by PPCRB, may lecture pa po sila doon, as well as NAMFREL and that of OCTA. Going to the possibility of granting additional election service honoraria to our teachers who were affected by the issues on the VCM, as of last night, Commissioner George Erwin Garcia had positive move for its grant to the Commission and Bank, which the Commission and Bank had warmly received. Noong 2019 po kasi, there was a similar grant to those also affected by the delays. Nandito rin po kanina ang representative ng Department of Education, and they informed us that DepEd will likewise be making a formal manifestation for this. Makikiisa po sila sa amin sa pag-grant ng additional. Again, we have to emphasize this. COMELEC has no authority under current rules, DBM, COA, audit and accounting rules to grant overtime. Definitely, it's not an overtime pay. It may be called an additional honoraria. It may be called additional service incentives. Yan po yung pinag-aaralan natin. But definitely, it will only be given to those identified to have been delayed by the issues in the VCM. Lastly, For the proclamation proceedings, plans are underway, and the priority for proclamation, of course, is compliance with minimum public health standards. So, just a bit of a, you know, parang guidelines, though we still have to wait for the resolution for this, just a bit of a guideline for senators who will be proclaimed, it will be the senator-elect himself or herself plus three companions. For the party list groups, it will be limited to two, just two. So again, the senator-elect plus three companions. For the party list, it's just two. So I think that's all for today. And we are now awaiting the resumption of the proceedings for the remaining COCs to be canvassed. Thank you.
Thank you, Director Rex. First last question is Mr. R.G. Cruz of ABS-CBN to be followed by Mr. Ian Cruz, GMA7. Sir R.G.
Good afternoon, sir. Can we get a breakdown kung ilan pa yung inaantay natin na COCs na wala pa dito, whether it is a manual or electronic? You don't have to say it during the press conference. Can you give us na lang a listing of the names of the COCs na inaantay pa natin? So it's more like a request for information. So the other thing I want to ask is, can we also get a list of the COCs that will be canvassed this afternoon that are already there? So that's another request for information. And then my other question now is, do we really have a more or less definitive timetable for the proclamation? Is it going to be tomorrow or Monday or Tuesday or Sunday? And will it be senators ahead or sabay na with the party list? And kasi earlier, you also talked about the OAV, the OVCOC of Hong Kong. And para my understanding is, correct me if I understood you wrong, no? But are you going to lower the threshold for Hong Kong para i-forgo nyo na actually yung election in the, hindi nyo naaantayin yung resulta sa Shanghai para lang makapag-proclaim na?
Thank you, Sir RG. For the list of those canvas, we will ask the control and releasing group. For the yet to be canvassed, those we are expecting, will likewise ask the reception and verification committee. As to the list of to be canvassed today, as you could see, the CCS operator has yet to make the necessary procedures on the CCS. Hihingin po natin kapag nag-initialize na sila. Dagdag lang po, ano, yung po kasing nakikita ninyo sa screen is actually locked. Nakalock po yan. Every time na magre-recess po tayo, magkiki-in, alam nyo naman po yun, ano, nakikita, no, nagkiki-in tayo ng code. That's part of the security measures. Now, definitely, the senators will be proclaimed ahead of the party list. Kasi nga po, we really have to apply the computation. But then again, this is not the hard and fast rule. Titignan po ng Commission and Bank sitting as NBOC upon the guidance and advice of two committees, the Oversight Committee and the Supervisory Committee. Inaaral na po yan kung pwede naming isabay partially yung party lists po na may nakakuha. Again, there is no final word on it yet. We have to wait for the resolution. On the Hong Kong and Shanghai issue, hindi po ipo-forgo ang transmission. What we will do is what we did similarly to the Amman, Jordan and Tel Aviv, Israel. Remember, these two posts are supposedly to transmit their COCs. Unfortunately, Israel and Jordan did not allow the entry of our broadband global area network transmission devices. Hindi po tayo pinayagang pumasok for security. So what happened was, the special boards of canvassers there generated the COCs and immediately, personally, brought it here. That may be the scenario for Hong Kong. They will be generating the COC for Hong Kong, which includes, again, Hong Kong, Macau, and the other parts of mainland China. No need to lower the threshold because we could do that in the OAV. Kaya naman po siya. So yung Shanghai, again, thank you, Sir RG, for stating na not to forgo. We will be setting a special elections there. Tandaan nyo po, ang laging goal ni COMELEC, not to disenfranchise any voter. Thank you.
Thank you, Director Rex. Ian Cruz, Sir Ian of GMA7, to be followed by Ms. Melissa Lopez, CNN Philippines. Sir Ian.
Hi, sir. Good afternoon. Attorney, clarification lang kasi sinabi mo dun sa proclamation, isang senator na nanalo, 3 companion, and dun sa party list, 2 lang sila. Kasama na po ba dun yung isang nominee or paano po yun?
It depends po. We will not be limiting that. We leave that to the party. Remember, hindi lang naman po nominees ang kumakatawan sa party list. They have their president, chairman, and secretary general. Same rule with the filing of COCs, kung natatandaan nyo po, 2. Depende. If they want their nominees, okay. If they want their president, chairperson, or the secretary general, it's okay.
Okay. Clear na po yan. Sir, marami po mga nag-rally ngayon. Ang allegation po nila, may dayaan daw sa election. Ano pong reaction ng COMELEC doon?
Kami po, mula nung umpisa pa lang, ay pinakita na namin lahat ng proceedings ay transparent. Just to show to the people that what we're doing is in accordance with law and rules. And if we stick performing our functions within the bounds of law and rules, we could proudly state wala pong dayaang naganap. The credibility of the elections is there. Pero bilang bilang isang siguro mamamayan, hayaan nyo po akong magsalita na wag lang po yung salita ni COMELEC ang pakinggan nyo lamang. Nagsasalita na po ang number one watchdog po namin, ang PPCRB. Remember, hindi lang po sila nagbase sa transmitted ERs. Napakaganda ng procedure nila. Kinuha nila yung na-receive nilang ER, printed ones, at ine-encode nila at chine-check kung tama at pareho dun sa result na pumapasok sa transparency server. Nagsalita na rin po, kaya nga po ang opening ko kanina tungkol sa 100% match, tungkol dun sa statement ng UP School of Statistics, yung lecture tungkol sa theory of large numbers ng PPCRB, yung words ng OCTA at echoing of analysis by NAMFREL. Dagdag ko na rin po siguro ang statements ng international community. Itandaan nyo po yung hindi magsasalita ang international community kung hindi sila may basihan sa salita po nila. Some of them have been staunch critics of COMELEC before. But now, as early as now, on the 4th day, 10, 11, 12, 13, 4th day of Canvas, they have already stated and accounted for the credibility of the elections.
Attorney, may mga binabanggit din po, pinakamabagal daw ang internet sa Pilipinas, pero pinakamabilis naman tayo sa transmission at sa resulta ng bilangan. Ano po ang reaction ninyo doon?
Hindi naman po large bandwidth ang kailangan ng transmission. It's actually burst. Ang siguro po to bring it down to the level of layman, yung pong pag-send natin ng ERs, mas comparable po siguro sa text messages. Yung text message po ba natin, dependent siya sa laki, bilis, o di ba? Hindi naman po. It's really a burst. Maliit lang na file data po ito. Kung titignan nyo po ito, napakaliit na file data ng lahat, ng ER, ng COCs, maliit na file data. So it's not impossible given the current infrastructure natin. And also, sir, permit me to highlight, bakit mabilis? Bakit ang taas ng percentages? Because 99.2% of the 106,174 VCMs function. And that is a fact. Ang hindi lamang po nakapag-transmit kagad, ang hindi lang naman po nakahabol kagad doon sa unang bugso ng transmission ay 915 na nagka-issue, which were also resolved, repaired, or replaced with contingency VCMs and then immediately brought back to the precincts. And later on, they were able to transmit. And the election website results would show po yung 99.2% na binabanggit ko po.
Sir, baka may statistics kayo tungkol dito. Kasi po, sa mga na-canvas, mayroon na po ba tayong statistics dun sa mga rejected ballots? May mga kumakalat din po sa Negros Occidental and Bacolod, around 100,000 yung rejected ballots. May mga ganyang similar events din po ba sa ibang mga lugar?
Okay. Yung rejected ballots po kasi, ganito po yan, ano? Remember, meron po tayong apat na paraan para ipasok, i-feed ang balota. Di ba? Front, dorsal, baliktarin mo, dorsal, baliktarin mo, ganoon, apat. Now, all the systems po that we deployed, from the machines to the transmission to the CCS, they are designed to log in each and every action taken. Naglalag po yan. It's a must. Requirement po namin yan. Dapat lahat ng mangyayari, dapat lahat ng gagawin, naglalag. So, paano po ito? Paano kung yung voter nagpasok ng machine na ganyan, niluwa? That's already one count recorded. Pinasok niya uli ng ganyan, niluwa uli. Recorded again as rejected. Hindi naman po nade-determine yung machine kung same ballot yun or hindi. Basta ang kina-count po niya, every attempt, ika-count niya yan. So, practically, we accounted those inputs ano, sa rejected ballots. Ito po yung attempts, actually. Attempts po yan. Kitang-kita naman po eh, magkakaroon tayo ng numerical anomaly kung ganun karami, tapos yung bumoto, eto resulta natin, tapos wala naman nagsasalita na, teka, saan napunta yung mga balota na yan? And we were able to account for all the ballots.
So yung ibig sabihin po noon, hindi common na nalista siya sa statistics ng reject, ay hindi na po nabilang ang boto.
Tama po, sir. Because all the inputs nga po, we have to again stress that lahat ng inputs will be logged. It's a must. Talaga pong requirement namin yan. In fact, pati po yun dito sa atin, ano, sa VCM, pag kikiin ng I button, log yan. Makikita natin sa log. Pag pindot ng voter, yung check or yung X, log po yan. Lahat nakalog dapat.
Okay. Sir, last from my end, alam ko pong limited ang canvassing natin sa senatorial and mga party list, pero yun po bang vice presidential tsaka presidential?
And that was the COMELEC PressCon on election updates headed by Director John Laudianco. He lauds statements of the PPCRV that there is a 100% accuracy and match with the canvassing of votes. And also the reports of UP statistics, he praises them for affirming that the ratio mentioned in circulating online is not an evidence of cheating, and in fact, the ratio is wrong to be used for analysis. Now, regarding with the issue on the honoraria to be given to teachers, who stayed a bit later with regards to the delay of voting because of the faulty VCMs, Director Laudianco mentioned that Commissioner George Garcia and the COMELEC en banc has already agreed to the additional service incentives or honoraria. Now for the proclamation, he mentioned that people allowed to attend will only be limited due to the health protocols and the ongoing pandemic. For the senators, they will only be allowed to bring, of course, the senator-elect and three companions. And for the party list, only two people will be allowed. He continues to maintain the stance of the COMELEC that there is no cheating that took place, as affirmed as well by the international community. And so far, when it comes to numbers, 99.2% of the VCMs functioned and only 950 malfunctioned and were immediately replaced and fixed. Former ABS-CBN President Charo Santos set to host a new talk show. It will be about overseas Filipino workers and how they have overcome challenges in life through financial management and financial education. It will premiere this Sunday, May 14. For more on this story, head on over to news.abs-cbn.com. And before we go, our very own Carmina Constantino will be receiving a special honor at this year's Gawad Tanglaw Awards. The Dateline Philippines anchor was named awardee of the Gantimpalang Dr. Debbie Francisco Dianco para sa sining ng pangmadlang komunikasyon. The award recognizes Constantino's outstanding contribution in the field of media communication. Meantime, other ANC anchors Ron Cruz and Karen Davila bagged Best TV News Anchor, while Head Start was named Best Public Affairs Program. ABS-CBN, the parent firm of this news channel, was chosen Best TV/Digital Media Station. The 19th Gawad Tanglaw is set for next Thursday. And I'll do it for today. Thanks for joining us. I'm Denise Dinsai. And if you want to revisit today's episode, you can play back this newscast on ANC's YouTube channel and on ANC 24/7 on Facebook. Keep safe, everyone, as you keep it here on the News Channel.